Okay, we're out of executive session at 7:15.
Okay, we are out of executive session at 7:15. Now we will say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's see. And you've got the, are you doing the split thingy?
Yeah.
Okay. Next item is the adoption of the agenda. Do we have a motion?
Moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
And Mrs. Devine?
Yes. Motion passes. All right, next, number 5.1, the superintendent's report.
I have several things. I just want to remind everyone about the staggered start at the beginning of the year. So grades 1 through 4, the principals and staff talked about the amount of assessment we're doing in elementary school and the time that's taking away from instruction taking hold. So the request was to stagger start and basically cut the kids in third. To come in, get some of the assessment out of the way so the instruction can start a little sooner. So grades 1 through 4, alphabet A through G starts on the 19th of August. The 20th is H through O. The 21st is P through Z. And then all students will come back together on the 22nd. So just a reminder, we've talked about that once, probably in May, actually. We wanted to give everyone a reminder. And at the high school, they'll do the freshman-only day again on August 19th, and then all students coming on the 20th. As well, we talked last month about the third grade reading guarantee and third grade scores, and we talked about retention. So we looked at our data, and I looked at the requirements for next year. The requirement is to have a 392 score. Next year. So I just applied this year's group with next year's indicator. How's that? And in looking at that, so let me give you a short explanation. Third graders would have to be retained. If we outlined, if you looked at 392 on the third grade reading, they must be retained except for the following students. So if they're limited English proficient, if their special education and their IEPs say they're exempt from being retained, students who demonstrate reading competency on an alternative reading assessment that's approved by ODE, to my knowledge, those aren't out yet, the alternative assessment for that, and any student who has received intensive remediation for 2 years and has been retained prior. So those would be the only exclusions. So for us, if we applied that standard to this year's data, we'd have a total of 16 kids in our district that would be retained. One at Mill Valley, 3 at Raymond, 2 at Northwood, 5 at Navin, and 5 at Edgewood. So we are looking at that and looking at ways to start intervention sooner, looking at our RTI process this year. That's going to be an emphasis for us, as well as looking at co-teaching in our elementaries. We have a solid co-teaching model at the high school. Elementaries have little pockets of co-teaching, so Kim Jude will be leading that charge and also looking at the RTI process to look at interventions, collect data, make changes in interventions, and help monitor the progress the kids were concerned about. Another addition that I'm pretty excited about is we were able to become part of a grant with the Central Ohio ESD, and they will be providing reading tutors through AmeriCorps, and we will be receiving 12 half-time tutors. They will be here every day. They just have different hours, so we will distribute those according to need in the building, but our thought was a minimum of 2 in each building. So we're excited for that. The cost for us is only $4,000 for that half-time person, and they pick up the remainder of that fee for that person. So it's a great opportunity. We actually get to train them in the Literacy Collaborative and LLI or any other interventions that we use. So we take care of training those individuals as well. So I'm excited about that opportunity as well. Again, I wanted to hit on, we've been in lots of conversations with Ann Daniel and the seasoned senior citizens. I always try to get that right. They are interested in possibly renting and leasing part of this facility. So at this point, she's taking some information back to her board and seeing if we're going to move forward with that. So the areas of interest are the
cafeteria
area and part of the kitchen, not actually to use the kitchen, but the serving line area. So that is in the works as well. We're excited about the possibility of making that happen. Also on the horizon, kicking off, getting ready for the school year. We have been looking at our safety plans, and Mike White is a part of a, I guess you would call it kind of Union County Coalition. We are going to be doing some active shooter training with our staff. We'll be kicking that off with principals on August 6th. And then when our staff comes back the week of the 13th, we'll be providing staff training as well. So we'll be working with Marysville Police Department and Union County Sheriff's Office to provide that for our staff. And then we will be working with each building through a safety committee to develop what the training looks like for students once they return. So kind of have things moving in that area. I know it's been a hot topic, and unfortunately sometimes a crisis causes importance in other areas. So the ALICE program is the one that the Union County has kind of adopted, and I know they've been to even the hospital and different areas, businesses in the area, to try to kick that off. Central enrollment, in our reduction plan, one of the things we talked about in removing one of the aides from each building would be to start a central enrollment at the board office. We know that will help with data entry and the accuracy of data entry and help with our parents who have multiple children. We did have some feedback that I have five kids and they're all in, you know, different levels, and I receive different paperwork, so we're trying to streamline that process for parents as well. It is up and running. I know one day this week, Marcy had four or five families come in and out, so seems to be going really well. We are looking forward to doing the online side of that, but probably won't make that transfer until September, October-ish maybe. But that's a new addition and seems to be going very well as a result of that. The other thing I'd like to talk about briefly, and we've talked about kind of informally, is we are excited and looking at a partnership with the YMCA. We know with staff reductions, we were struggling to cover lunch duties at Creekview Intermediate. And we have talked to Rick Shortell, and they are submitting a plan. But they are looking to provide coverage for us from 11 to 1 with organized activities for our students at Creekview. And they have all kinds of ideas from different competitions to music and dancing, and so excited to partner with them in that way. As well, they are working on a plan, and several groups since coming in the door, we've received the feedback that, you know, through years of reductions, we've kind of lost opportunities for kids. We used to have an A team and a B team at Bunzold, and now we have just one team and not as many students involved. So they are also looking at options to provide intramural programs for our kids. Boot camp, they talked about fitness boot camp, Zumba classes. So they will be forwarding a proposal to us as well. In trade, they have a gymnastics club that is made up of our students. And currently they are at the
Veterans
Old
Auditorium.
Vets area. So they would like to use our middle school gym space. and we are looking to do that in trade. So gymnastic equipment, you really can't set up, tear down every night. So they're looking for a space to house that equipment. So it's a good opportunity for both of us, and excited about being at the table and starting those conversations. So exciting time. Yep. Exciting time. Last thing I will touch on is kind of our transformational leadership team. And we've talked about, they've gone out, looked at other areas, started some conversation about what's that look like at Marysville. Started some early conversation of looking at STEM programming in the district. So as we are continuing to move down that path and hire new people, we're kind of pushing forward, but I will continue to communicate as we get back together. We're going to plan another meeting in early August where we're going to work on kind of looking at what our mission and vision are, and trying to create and define and talk about what it might look like then to create educational opportunities around that. So it's an exciting time. Mm-hmm. I know it's been a lot of change this year, but we have some really great partners developing and good opportunities for kids coming out of that.
Whatever happened with the High Point discussions with this building?
High Point is going to fall in very nicely with that. When we met initially, the next meeting, what we're going to really do is look at those career clusters and how they fit together and organize, and then we'll start inviting High Point into those conversations as well.
That's great. Great information.
That's a long list.
That is, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah. You've been busy. Okay, any other questions? All right, move on to the treasurer's report.
I have a long list also, so. First one is that we did receive our BWC money, our refund, back on July the 9th. So it was $106,357. That right now we've put it into general fund. There's some discussion with the state auditors on exactly how we're supposed to post it, because mm-hmm. it is a refund of prior year. And unfortunately, that was a year that we had stimulus dollars, so they aren't sure how to do that, because it's one-time dollars, and how do you post that? So it's going to be an interesting thing before everybody gets done and saying one way or another as far as what's going on with the actual refund of that money. So
when you say how to post it, meaning like which fund?
Which fund to post it into, yeah.
Meaning broadly? Like
broadly.
Operation?
Yeah, because if you... The refund, you pay it out of several funds. You pay it out of the general fund for anybody, the general expenditures. Then you pay it also, we have the cooks out of the 006 account. Mm-hmm. You have it out of the SAC account. Theirs. We even, if we have expenditures for personnel out of the 300 accounts for athletics or anything like that, they have to pay their portion, and any of the federal grants. So the federal grants would be okay, because that's a continuous, most of them are. Mm-hmm. But when you get looking at the stimulus dollars, those are one-time dollars. Mm-hmm. So if we paid, like, the Ed Jobs grants,
right.
All those people that we paid part of their Ed Jobs,
right.
Their BWC out of that. So the accounting says you have to deposit it back into that account. Well,
and that's going to leave a credit balance in there.
Yeah, it'll leave a credit balance. So how do you do that? But you also, we don't know exactly what percentage this is of that total amount. So mm-hmm. it's more of a hassle. That, I mean, it's great that we got the money back. Mm-hmm. It would have been better if they would have just let us take it off of this year's
right.
amount
right.
to spend. So
mm-hmm.
so that's it's going to be a big time look at what has to be done with that money. So right now I threw it into general fund and said I know where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
I will make the correcting entries once they give us that information and say where we have mm-hmm. to post it. It's going to be an interesting time when mm-hmm. we get it all. There was a big email back and forth amongst treasurers today. Where'd you post it at? Where'd you post it at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I posted it as reduction of expenditure. You can't do that. So it was quite interesting, the email travel that was going on today. Let's see. Sequestration, one little thing I'd like to talk about that is in We've talked about where we were going to end up, whether it was 5%, 10%, 7%. It was all over the board. And ours really based on allocation from last year, from fiscal year 13 to fiscal year 14, we go from anywhere from 20% to 3.5%. So we're all over the board, just like we thought we would be. What happens is if we look at our total allocation versus our carryover, because every year we can have carryover if it's not spent. So our carryover, and then once they get through everybody having carryover at the state level, then they go and reallocate it again. So you can either lose more money in January, February, or you'll get more money. So taking those into consideration, when you take a total percent of change, it goes anywhere from 7.74% to the 20.81% change that we've lost. The biggest areas that we've lost money in, which we would expect, would be our Title I, which is our reading intervention area, Title 6B, which is the special ed cost, and then our Title 1D, which is the delinquency. That's the one area that really lost the most, and we use that money that goes to the West Central, the Department of Administrative, well, the Department of Youth Services, mm-hmm. is what that goes for, the jails, the students that are there. So they really took the biggest hit of any of our grants of 20.81%.
So what's the net dollar cost?
The net dollar is $175,000 based on last year's allocation and this year's allocation and our actual total from last year. I included that, our carryover and all in there. So Andy and I looked at it, and when we were working on the grants a couple weeks ago before the deadline to get them in, we tried to take it out of supplies if we could. So that's what we tried to do, and we'll review it again and see where we're at. But I think most of it, we'll be able to take most of that loss out of supplies. So
it'd be nice if you could just net that BWC right in.
Yeah. I don't think we paid that much into BWC those areas. The forecast, end of year forecast, we ended up pretty good this year. The difference in our total revenues, we were 1.225% increase over what we thought we were going to be back in October, $560,000, almost $561,000. And our total expenditures we were less in our expenditures by 0.467, not quite half a percent, which is another $218,000. So overall, we came out ahead on our cash with $779,000, which is always good. A little bit more in cash than what we thought and less in expenditures, and we're really close. Areas that, couple areas that were out of the norm were our tangible personal property tax that came in a little bit higher, and that does that. And then our restricted grants and aids, they were up a little bit, which is the amount for the JVS courses that we teach here, the career tech, and also our ed jobs. We ended up with a little bit more in ed jobs at the end of last year that we were able to use this year. And then the other areas that were only area that really was over was our employee retirement area. It was over by 1.5%. And then our capital outlay was over, but that's because instead of spending it in supplies, principals asked to move it to equipment. So we allow that. So that's why that was over. So other than that, those were the major areas that were differences on. So,
great.
So those were the things. Now to the big discussion item, state budget. And I sent everybody out a little, the information that I received at the seminar I went to last week on the 9th, last Wednesday morning. It was very good. Our three associations, OASB, OBASA, and OSBA, put on with our lobbyists, and they went over a lot of the different things and discussed those and helped us understand there's still a lot that are unknown. a lot that are unknown. I mean, the details haven't been brought out or anything. So those are some of the areas. Per pupil aid this next year is going to be $5,475, and then in fiscal year 15, it's $5,800. That would mean a lot if we were not on a cap. Our district is on a sick, we're on one of the districts that's on the cap. And when they were talking about the cap, they said, think about one thing if you're on the cap, and that is, what happens to the money that's on that cap in the next biennium? Will we see some of that? Because we should have gotten more based on our numbers and everything this year. And so our cap, we're capped at 6.25% this year, and then the 10.5%. So we're at the maximum cap on both years. We have $5,976,000 in the cap that we should, if there was no cap, that's how much more we would get in state funding this year. Next year, it would be $4,597,000. So for a total of 2 years of $10.5 million, a little bit more than $10.5 million, that we would receive more than what we are receiving. The cap works the same way for us as the guarantee works for the districts that are on guarantee that aren't getting anything new. So it's one of those things that we're just going to have to watch and see what happens in the next couple of years after the cap, after these next 2 years. So that's an area that we just have to keep looking at and watching. TPP replacement is to be paid at the same level as currently in fiscal year 13. So in other words, that percentage, there's no percentage leaving us there. There's a new state share index calculation. The state share will be divided, the three-year average on our valuation index to the state average, and then an additional income factor for districts that have a median income below the state average. So anybody that is a district at 307 to 600 and I think 14, 12 or 14 that there are now of regular districts, then those will have that median income because they're lower than what the state average is at 307. Okay. So that's, and we do have an income average, so ours must be a little bit lower. It's not a whole lot in our income average, but it's there. There's a new formula. There's formula components that discuss economically disadvantaged funds, special education funds, and gifted funds, and these all will be given to the districts with that state average, with your state share. So we have to. That's important for us. Special education funds are based on dollars instead of the percentage or the formula numbers that they use. So when you look at the graph that in here, the weights used to be like for special needs students with SLD, just learning disabilities, it was like maybe 1.002 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So now they'd be in category 2, so they'd get $3,813 more per student. Instead of using that percentage, they use a number, an actual number. There's a K-3 literacy fund that's included in for everybody, and that's supposed to be used on K-3 for literacy. So we'll have to figure out how to code all that information that we'll be doing there. The count week's the same in fiscal year 14. Fiscal year 15 next year, there's supposed to be 3 enrollment counts. Not sure how they're going to do it. They said the ODE is to work with the school district. So it could be 1 in October, 1 in November, 1 in December. It could be 1 in October, 1 in January. Nobody knows yet. So it'll be interesting. When they tried to do the 2 count a few years ago, it was just a mess. There was no way. I mean, we're just now, you know, we had until March to clean up October's numbers. So how are they going to do 3? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Kindergarten students will only be counted as a half instead of a full like they have been for the last few years in our current structure, because we only have them come half time, really, even though they're all day every other day. Mm-hmm. They're still only half time as the way the state looks at them. Pupil transportation, Diane goes, oh great, this is good. She goes, I said, yeah, that there's no longer any incentive for transporting high school students, which is why we said we didn't want to cut high school busing
right
a year ago, and the incentive to transport students within the 2-mile limit is gone. So that's another area that we received extra money because we we transport it. We transport students inside that two-mile limit. We will no longer get that. So it'll see what happens there. Doug, I don't think they listened to you. No. There is a change in the JVS board.
My whole High Point report.
No longer an appointment from the local board unless the member has been a CFO, CEO, HR manager, or other business industry or career counseling professional that is able to discuss the labor needs of the region. So we have to look at that. The change in the ESC supervisory service funding will no longer be taken from the district's foundation payments. It'll be included in our foundation, then we'll have a straight bill to the ESCs. Preschool special education, we have one unit that's housed at Harold Lewis. The funding is changed, and we did receive some of the funding, some of those students as a full-time student, one. They've changed that funding so that they can only count as a half-time student no matter what. Because they were able to put them in two different unit areas so that they could get full service because they needed full service. So those are some of our more special needs students. Tax reforms, quite a few. Sales tax is increased from 5.5 to 5.75 after 90 days after the governor's signing. So if anybody needs any big ticket items, new washer, dryer, go get them now before September the 27th. Otherwise, you'll have to pay 0.25% more in sales tax. They removed the state payment to the districts of the 10% and the 2.5% rollback for any new or replacement levies, beginning with the November ballot. So if they're on in August, they'll be okay. But if it's a new in November or replacement in November, it will be no longer have the rollback paid by the state, and the taxpayers will have to pay the full amount. There's safety grants. There's two areas of safety grants: one for communication and one for security doors. And that's for anything that's been put in after January 1st of 2013. So everything that we've been doing with our safety and the doors and all that kind of stuff, we can apply for these grants once they come out. They have not come out yet, but I'll keep my eyes out and we'll get them, make sure that we're there. As you know, we've done several House Bill 264 projects that are the energy conservation projects here. They've changed the language in there that it's strengthened the bill, in that the contractors must guarantee the savings and the plans must go to the Ohio Facility Council office before presenting the plan to the Board of Education. So there's some new guidelines there. So if we ever want to do anything with the House Bill 264, we need to make sure we understand that. School choice, they've increased vouchers, and they're so confusing, I'm not even going to worry about it. Just know that we'll probably see a lot more community school dollars coming out of our foundation payments. There's the changes in extracurricular participation for homeschool and charter school students. And then there's new subgroups for accountability system, and it's been strengthened. The codes, they've started putting in new codes last year that we were supposed to double check and try to get some of the information up. They didn't have anything, several of them, in place even until the last week of June. So some of them we got changed, some we did not. There's codes that they want us to show on accountability as far as the types of subgroups, such as the English second language, the students that are disadvantaged through economically, through special ed. So special ed is easy. I'm not so sure how we do that economically, and nobody else did either. So that's another area that we'll have to start paying a lot of attention to and making sure that our account codes are up to date. And the last one is that the minimum school year has been changed in fiscal year 15 from 182 days as the minimum, and it has been converted to 455 hours for half-day kindergarten, 910 hours for this would be all-day, every-day kindergarten through sixth grade, and then 1,001 hours for 7th grade through 12th grade. So some of the conversation was, what happens when you have a building that has 6, 7, 8 in there? What do you do about that? So those districts will have to decide what they want to do. But, you know, if we'd have Bunseled the way that it's made, it would be 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th. So we might have two different time zones in that building. At some point, we may still. So those are just some of the areas, 19 of the small areas that affect us directly. The details still are sitting out there, and we'll keep you abreast on what's going on. So
on the busing, have you already factored that in? How much we're going to lose there?
No, because there's a.
It's more complicated.
Yeah, it's more complicated than that. There's a guarantee on the busing too, so that busing is within our cap. So it's part of that whole cap. So we haven't gotten to the details of how those numbers came out.
Okay.
So once we find that out, then we'll figure that out. But
so there's a chance it won't be adverse?
It might not be, or it may or it may not. I don't know, Tracy, yet, really, because nobody knows for sure. We know that when you look at the full...
It's not going to be as clear as what we know now.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a chance that we may not lose money for transporting high school.
Right, we may not, because right now we've got what it gives us in our cap for next year is an opportunity grant, which is our regular amount. Targeted assistance, which is that for the 307 and above. Mm-hmm. Educational additional funding. LEP, economically disadvantaged, K-3 literacy, gifted, career tech, transportation, and that. So the transportation is already figured in the amount of our cap, which it would have been before too. Mm-hmm. So our cap is where we're at, and I think a lot of our cap is coming from our special education area. Mm-hmm. Some of that. Because of the needs there, and then it could be coming from just our values, because our values have gone down over the years, and our enrollment has either stayed steady or just, you know, inclined a little and then declined. One year it was up a little, next year it's down a little, so we're pretty steady over the last 3 years on enrollment, but being on that cap, we won't lose anything because we're on the cap already. Mm-hmm. But if at any time we go off that cap, then we really have to look at all that.
Oh, go off the cap, what do you mean? Get more money, though? I mean,
yeah, we should get more money if they fund us fully.
Is
that's the whole thing
about
that
why there is a cap? I assume.
Well, because they don't have they don't have enough money to cover everything. Yeah,
it's a matter of.
Yeah. Well, if you looked at what happened with the governor's. Ours was a lot higher. Ours was, what, 23%, I think? 23% with the governors on what we would have received more.
And it was down to 6.
And it's down to 6.25. So, right. And the House had us even down. I think it was down 3 or 4%. It was really low compared to what the governor's about.
Just getting into the details and figuring out. Because the more you, I guess, if you relieve the cap a little bit more, then you probably... attempted to take more people off the guarantee then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the dollars have to come from somewhere.
It's got to come someplace, yeah. Yeah. And you know, the governor has said he doesn't like guarantees. Mm-hmm. They've got guarantees in here. Mm-hmm. Really, our TPP is a guarantee.
Right.
Our
right.
replacement is a guarantee. So we have to be prepared mm-hmm. for that, too.
Yeah.
So with the forecast, you know, I still have that 1% coming out. Just
right.
That's a cushion
for the future years.
Right. Yeah, for the future years. Yeah.
16 and
it's 16, 17, 18. That's a cushion. You've got to have that cushion.
Right.
That's my report.
Great. Thank you. All right. Moving on. Ohio High Point report. Mr.
Well,
Lasseter.
I don't know if you've heard. But
short-lived.
I think the concern in High Point is going to be that you have a 14-member board. There's a lot of experience on that board.
Mm-hmm.
You potentially have all new people on there in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Now, what I found was kind of interesting that before this law even came into play, a couple of the board members there made comments like, man, I wish I could just be on this board and not, you know, my home school board, you know. Mm-hmm. And now they potentially have that opportunity if they roll off the board and, you know, be selected by their board to get on there. So.
They meet those qualifications.
What's that?
Yes.
They meet those.
Well, I think the qualifications are more strict if you are a board member.
Board member.
Yeah. Okay. But I think they're a little bit more
lenient.
Yeah. On okay. If you're not, so. And they'll probably revive it later, so you can't be a prior board member.
Yeah, because I think if you aren't on a board, it's something about you have to either work or live in that area for a company, for a corporation or a company or something like that.
Something along those lines.
So it's not as stringent as if you are actually on a
and,
board.
I mean, that would cover the areas of all of the districts that feed into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, the good news there is then you have more, I mean, as a board, you have more to pick from for that position.
Right.
Quite frankly, it's not. It's great being on that board, but it's an extra significant time commitment.
Yes.
Guess, so.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
I haven't had the board meeting yet. There.
Okay. So. All right. Tracy, legislative report.
It's a little longer, but not by much. There was legislation introduced on July the 2nd for school funding. By State Representative Brenner, and it's just a placeholder. So all it says, it's the General Assembly's intent that sections of the revised code be amended, enacted, or repealed to reform the system of funding elementary and secondary education. So I don't know when they'll start actually putting the meat in it. Certainly not until they come back. But
is there a House bill on that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And yes, it is 228, House Bill 228. And the only other thing I have to report is something I read in Gong Wars about the lottery funds. The state took in more money than they thought. So they took in $70.6 million as opposed to $62.9 million. And so the schools will be receiving more money, but that won't be until the fall when they get the count.
Yeah, I think, was that lottery or was that casino?
That was casino. The casino money.
Good.
So, it says exactly how much each school district will receive won't be calculated until the start of the new school year next month, when student head counts are made.
So they'll split that revenue up and send it out to all them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and part of it stays with the counties where the casinos are, a certain percentage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
but we should see
34% of the total will go to school districts.
We put forecast in there of $50, I think $50 more per student last, or 50, so that it would go up a little bit, which is what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds more like maybe even more than that 50, so that's good news too.
Sure.
Right. So I think they had forecasted a little bit of a decrease, and you kept yours kind of at that original one.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to be pretty darn close to what we end up getting. So. That's it?
People are gambling.
Okay. Next, the Finance Committee. And we had a meeting just a couple days ago on the 16th. And at our meeting, we heard a nice update from Cindy about the state budget. But before that, we also talked about our bonds because we really had done a lot of research, a lot of work on potentially refunding a bunch of bonds. But if anybody has money in the bond market, or they know that things have gone a little crazy over the last couple months. And so the bottom line is that it no longer makes sense to do that. So so we've just kind of put that on hold. So it's not like we're losing money. We just aren't going to be able to save anything on that, on those bonds. And then we also talked about some new developments in the area and that several of them are in our TIF areas. So those additional taxes would go toward the bond payments. So those are good. And I know one of them, we talked about Nationwide Children's Hospital, and there was a question about whether or not they were tax exempt because they were a hospital. And I did see Hank Burby. Had checked with Andrea, and Andrea said as of right now they would be paying taxes, that they would have to apply for an exempt.
I get a monthly report from the tax department, and I haven't seen anything from Union County for the probably the last 6 months on any new requests for tax exemptions.
Okay.
So.
So that's good news.
Yeah.
And then we talked about with the new state budget, some of the additional funds that we got. We had wanted to talk about the possibility of offering all-day, every-day kindergarten starting next year, I believe. And so Cindy and Diane had worked together, and they gave us some forecast information showing what the additional cost would be for all-day, every-day kindergarten. And I think we had like 10 additional teachers in there and some support, additional support staff as well. And I thought it was good to be looking at that because I think we all feel like it's important that we offer that as soon as we can. It's going to eliminate a lot of costs on down the road if you can prepare kids at the kindergarten level instead of waiting until they get to third grade. So that was great information. And then we also spent a lot of time talking about our final renewal levy that is going to expire at the end of next year, 2014. And talked about the fact that the soonest we could put it on the ballot would be November of this year. Or we can wait until next year. If we wait until next year, I think we would have three opportunities to get it passed. But the bottom line is that we all realize that it's, again, something that we have to have. And so after a lot of discussion, I think the majority of the Finance Committee felt like it made sense to put it on to put it on the November ballot. We also realized that that would mean there would be three levies in 1 year. And so there was concern about maybe voter fatigue, more importantly, levy committee fatigue and staff fatigue. We just thought we really need to be, and I think we have been talking about this. I know Diane, every time she went out with our last renewal, she talked about the fact when people said, when are you going to be on the ballot again? Well, the earliest we could be on would be November of 13. And so it has been out there, and it's something that we need to talk about as a board, and I know that we want to be intentional at that long-term vision of what we need to do for our forecasting. So
we talked a little bit about how the forecast looked, and I guess it's still preliminary, but new money looking is probably could be potentially, nobody's committing to anything.
Right.
But it could be a couple of years down, 2016 before we're looking at new
right money, so. When we put in that all day every day kindergarten, even with those expenses added in and some other assumptions, obviously we are still in negotiations,
right.
So we don't have any final numbers for in that area, but
and plus I think we still need to look further than that because of
yes.
our policy, so there's the work to be done there, but
right.
I think one of the attractive things about November was it's a renewal, you hopefully get it done in November, and then you could be looking at 1 or 2 years and not even being on the ballot. So, it'd be nice to be able to do that. It's just a matter of, the worst thing is we don't have a whole lot of time to make that decision.
Right. If it was going to go on November, we would have to have that resolution by, I think, August 7th.
So right. You've got two resolutions to do, so you'd have to. And it takes a while to get them from the attorney, so.
Does that mean we're going to have a special meeting to talk about that? I would imagine.
Yeah,
right.
We can't talk about it outside of the meeting. So.
Right.
That's probably what will happen.
Right. I think, again, the important thing is that we're not trying to make a quick decision. We are trying to look at the long-term financial vision, I guess, or what I want to say, just our forecast over the next at least 5 years. So I think we are being intentional on that and trying to do our research and talking to people out in the community. So I think that was it for our meeting. Okay. So now there is no public participation was requested, but I guess I'll throw it out there. Is anybody interested in saying something? All right, move on to 7.1, approval of minutes from the prior meeting. I hear a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Okay, roll call.
We're in trouble here. Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Okay, motion passed. Well, we move on to 8.1, the financial statements for June, our treasure items. Let's see. Do we have a motion to approve all the treasurer's items?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
I had one question that pertains to this, just kind of a general question.
Sure.
And I think we talked about this a couple of years ago, and I'm not exactly sure of what. You know, like the funds we have for like each high school class, mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. there's always money left after they leave.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody looked at that to kind of try to adjust to say, I know a lot of it depends upon how much that class spends. And yeah. I know for like 2013, there probably is a lot of stuff that hasn't come in.
Right.
But from last year, there seemed like there was a good bit of money left over.
Several of those accounts have a large cash balance.
And so it seems to me like it would be good idea to kind of look, what are we charging these parents? And obviously we don't need to maybe charge so much.
I think maybe that's something that needs to be discussed with the new high school principal and all, and see what's going on there. Because once they, you know, leave, they're supposed to tell, according to board policy, they're supposed to meet with the principal and say what they want to have done with those funds.
Mm-hmm. I understand that, but if the parents aren't being charged for it anyway, I mean, if there's all this money left over and then say, oh, well, we have it left, spend it, why just... You know, reduce the amount the parents have to pay each year.
So just because I'm the new one, let me get clarity. Are you talking about, like, the class of 2013's
yes.
fund or chemistry class
no.
fund?
No.
The class of 2013, 2012, 2011.
The student activity accounts.
Got it.
Does that strictly come from fees or?
Yes, no, it's part of the.
Well, they have a class fee, and then it also comes from set.
If they do any fundraisers.
Like when they fundraise for the prom or things
right.
like
right.
that?
Yeah, right. Prom tickets and that kind of stuff goes into each class.
I mean, other district that I've been in have that class then has left a gift to the school.
If we started an education foundation,
that's a good.
They could be rolled into that.
You have to have the... Do we have policy here that requires... the student council people to...
They're supposed to, yes.
Or we can also look at it as not charging the parents so much.
Yeah.
That could still be a possibility.
But I don't... Yeah. I'm not sure that that's what I was asking. I'm not sure that those are the fees that parents are charged for. It's more... My experience has been, and I could be wrong, it has been more fundraising activities, like for the prom or...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that when I was paying, you know... The high school fees each year, there was a portion of that was going towards.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Is there a $5 or $10 fee or something like that that goes to their class? I think. I can't say for sure.
I have a note. We'll look at
that.
Okay. Up and let you know.
So, and that was a question kind of just, what exactly is that? Because some years there seems to be quite a bit of money left mm-hmm. there.
So if they're doing so well in fundraising and there is a portion of your fees that go to that, then maybe you don't have a portion of go to that,
right.
or reduce it by that amount.
Right. Right.
Something.
Right.
Just to take a look at it. Now would be a good time to do that.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, and the other thing that doesn't maybe necessarily pertain to this, but I had read an article about the federal program for school lunches and all the regulations that keep coming down. A school district had determined that it was costing them way more money to comply with the federal government, and so much food was being thrown away that they just opted out, so they're not participating in that program anymore. And so I just wondered what it was like for our district.
That has been changed, and they're now going to be forced in there by the federal law.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Awesome.
Forced by the feds. Who could have thought?
Okay.
And I can't remember. I think it was some school district in Florida or something. I don't remember where it was.
You have school district ones that aren't participating in it. They opted out, and now in the Ohio laws, the federal laws will force them back in.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How insane is that?
Mm-hmm. Right. Any other questions? Comments?
I'm done with my questions.
All right. Roll call.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Now moving on to 9.1, resolution for the Marysville Library levy for November 2013. Would you like to talk about that, Cindy?
Oh, let's get a motion.
Oh, yes, sorry. Motion, please. Do I have a motion?
Most.
Second.
Rookie. Roll call, please.
No, you don't. You want to talk about it first.
Yes, is there discussion?
I think we'll let Ryan McDonald's here from the library.
That's correct.
So
oh, that's right.
Here,
sorry,
so.
Ryan. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, the library only has one operating levy, and it is up for replacement. We're asking for replacement this year. It expires on December 31st this year. We're asking to replace the 1 mil with a 1.5, same term, 5 years. Our only levy makes up about 55% of our budget, so it is a significant percentage of our budget on one levy. Any questions about it, or what's going on at the library, or
how much did you guys lose from local government funds?
We obviously lost similar situation with you guys with the tangibles. We are held harmless for a percentage of those. We've also lost the TIFs. Unlike the schools, we do not receive rebates for those TIF districts. On top of that, state funding is probably down over 20% now over the last 10 years. So it's a big percentage of our budget. Is that what you're asking?
And while you've had some of those decreases, I know you guys have implemented a lot of new programs there.
Yeah, we have implemented a lot of programs. We've had considerable patron growth there. Since probably 2001, we've gone from about 10,000 active users to over 27,000.
Wow.
So we've had significant growth over the last decade, like everybody else. At the same time, we've had reductions in state funding consistently. So that has been a challenge for us. But we have been successful at implementing a lot of cost savings, particularly over the last 5 years. The board and administration have looked at everything from energy audits, personnel restructuring, process improvements. Pretty much we've been making cuts consistently now for about 10 years in operation. So we're pretty lean at this point. We've also eliminated some positions through attrition at this point. So we are down quite a few positions from where we were 5 years ago. But we're doing our best to provide high-quality services with the resources that we have.
I know when I've gone in there, I mean, it's like you're constantly making changes in there and get to check out your own books now. So
We have been really focusing on diversity for a customer organization, customer service, and really doing our best to spend our money on helping people. So anything that we can automate, streamline, reduce costs, we've been doing. So you'll continue to see those types of changes over the next few years.
Roll call.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
All right. Motion carries.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Okay. 10.1, some HR actions from the superintendent, as well as the other superintendent action items. Do we have a motion to approve them? Discussion.
Well, we have a healthy list of new employees, as you can see on our list for you today, and also recalling our, I believe, last aide off the recall list, right, Cindy?
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about being able to recall that last person off the aide list. We also have resignations, including the high school principal, but as well the employment of a new high school principal. We went through search, had a couple rounds of interviews, including community input. We are very excited to bring Aaron Cook on board as the high school principal. He is on family vacation. We just offered Monday to him officially, and he feels horrible. He did ask that I read something, if that's okay. He asked to pass this along to the board. I'm sorry that I could not be there tonight. I'm extremely humbled and honored that you have trusted me to lead Marysville High School. I'm excited to get started and to return to Marysville, where I got my start as an educator. I look forward to meeting all of you and the rest of the Marysville team over the coming weeks. See you at the next board meeting. So he is enjoying vacation, and I said enjoy it while you have it, because we're going to be all over you when you get back. So he is definitely aligned to many of the things we've been talking about with redesign and innovation and approaching high school in a different way, and that it doesn't have to look traditional, that you know, kids, it could be an open campus, it could be integrated projects. So has a lot of vision and excitement and enthusiasm. He looks really young. I told him he's going to blend in with the kids, or maybe I'm just getting older, but I'm definitely excited to bring him on. And I will reiterate, I think I said last meeting too, the new staff, we're getting some really quality new young staff members, innovative. I'm so excited about getting some these new people on board. Also, the other piece we have, I think Cindy mentioned it in her report about homeschool students attending and being able to participate in extracurriculars. Just this year, we changed that to 3 required classes. We made a modification. Current law appears that it may even go down to that you don't have to be enrolled at all, but Ohio High School does not have a regulation to address that. So the recommendation is really to go down in our policy to students taking one course and then being able to participate in extracurriculars. And we thought that was important. You know, it's going to happen, I think, September 27th. Mm-hmm. But if we do it now, it allows our students in that situation to be able to participate as long as they have met all the guidelines with Ohio High School. They could participate this fall. If we waited till September, that fall season would be off or not. So this would give them that opportunity. So the change in that language is on there, and really it's just 3-1 is the only change.
So I have a question. Does that have to be a common core?
It's a core class.
A core class that they have to take. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
they could not roll an example for just band or just any elective area.
PE, right.
And that's, I know that was a concern last time.
And is that how the law is written that way too, right? It says you have to be an academic class.
Academic class. In our policy, we labeled it as core last time. I think intentionally. One of the three had to be a core last time. So now it would just be one core.
So they're saying that all it needs is a vote now? Is that what
you're right. saying? Right. I'm bringing that before you to approve it for one.
So just to make sure I understand this, so the law says academic, which is different than our requirement of core, would that get us in trouble come September 27th, where it says we shouldn't be able to restrict it any further than, would that be considered a further restriction?
I think once that the rules come out from Ohio High School Athletic Association and everything's been, because right now Ohio High School and what they passed in the budget bill don't match.
Right.
And it doesn't go in effect really until the 27th, so Ohio High School's working on getting that to match. So I think we'll probably end up having to come back to you and say, we need to revise this policy once again.
I knew we were doing it for that reason, but I thought that the other reason was just so that we wouldn't have to come back. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I guess my point is that's our intent.
Well, there was a concern, though, is that if we didn't have this in here, that
that we might be in line to forfeit some gains or something if we're in compliance?
Right.
Right.
We want to be
what you're saying is academic core, we don't know that those words are interchangeable or not.
Okay.
So my since we already have one core, I think we'd be fine to kick this off. Mm-hmm. And if we have to change the academic language, I would encourage us to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think, too, everything is so new that a little bit of that will have to be vetted out. They'll ask us for questions, and that will be our opportunity to say, define academic.
Right.
Well, the law as it's written out doesn't say up to. You can only require them to put up to.
It does.
Yes.
I think
it
does.
Yes.
It says up to.
Right.
Yeah, you can read that.
Right.
Up to one.
Up to one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a maximum of one. I think it's like you can require a maximum of one.
You know, not to take
any. No, it's gonna happen.
It is gonna happen.
Yeah. So you have 90 days, which is that September 27th date. So the feeling really is, you know, if it's gonna happen, don't we want to provide that opportunity for fall sports?
Right.
I mean,
we just may have to readjust it at another meeting.
If there's a language change that needs to take place for academic decor, we can do that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's it for me.
Okay. I would just want to say good luck to Matt Crispin. Thanks for everything that he did, and we wish him the best in his first superintendent position. And I'm happy to see that the last recall from layoff from the eights. That's always it's always nice to see those on there.
So all eight that are left will be
Everyone
has been recalled.
They may be some applied for secretarial positions. We had one aide that jumped into special education aide, one that had a teaching license that went into a teaching position. So it's all kind of absorbed through. So
okay. Can we have a roll call?
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Okay. 11.1, comments and questions from board members. Mrs. Powers.
Yep. Just looking forward to a good year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be exciting to see all the new things happening, and very excited that we're able to bring people back on board that... Mm-hmm. So we had such an end of last year, so this is going to make our year even better.
Mm-hmm. I just like to say, you know, I think our district's really in a much better place, and it's really, I think I'm just optimistic about the future for our district, and I get real excited listening to all the positive changes that are occurring, I have to say this, but. The deadline for school board candidates is August 7th,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not running, unless something's changed with Tracy. I don't believe she's running either. So I just hope that the community, that there's people out there in the community that God's pressing on them to run for school board and the right people, and that the community supports a kid first board members in the next election, because I would like to see this momentum continue to move in the right direction.
No comments?
No comments. No more questions.
Okay. I guess I also wanted to welcome Aaron Cook, because I do remember him. He had my son Paul in his math class and also coached him in basketball. And I was very impressed when I went to meet with him. I said, "Oh, hi, Aaron. I'm Sue Devine." He goes, "Oh, Paul's mom." Mm-hmm. Paul was in seventh grade, I don't know, probably about 8 years ago. that's impressive. So welcome him to the staff. And I'm like Amy, I'm really excited for next year, and agree with Doug that I think we're really moving in a great direction. It's been fun to watch our staff throughout this whole year with all their presentations. I think everybody's ready and just ready to dive in. So thanks for your good leadership, and thanks to our staff for helping move us forward. Go for
it. On top of
okay.
You. But when you're talking about it, the excitement of the staff, I was part of the interview process with Aaron, and just to be able to see the staff talk about their perceptions of Aaron and how excited they were for the future and having that kind of leadership in that building. It's just, I don't know. I'd be lying if I said I didn't try to second guess my decision to run for board, because I would love to be sitting here as you guys go through those positive things. But, you know, other decisions, family and personal things.
Mm-hmm. I guess one of I would be remiss not to mention that we do miss Jeff at this meeting. He did have a death in the family, and so we send our sympathies to Jeff and his family.
That was on my note.
Oh, okay, so okay.
And I also I was trying to keep Mr. Crispin's conversation separate from Aaron's conversation, but we certainly wish him well. Mm-hmm. He certainly has left his legacy of proud to be a monarch with us, and certainly that's a glowing phrase that kids and staff have been able to rally around. So we wish him well in his transition. Mm-hmm. I met with him today, and he, you know, is already feeling the pressure of wrapping up one place and starting the other. So excited mm-hmm. for his opportunity.
Any comments, Cindy?
No.
Okay. Let's see. All right. And with that, we need a motion to move into executive session. For the purpose of, that's kind of just say the name, ORC 121.22G number 1 and 4.
Second.
Any discussion?
There will be no other action after that, right?
That's right. There will be no other action after this executive session other than to adjourn. Okay, can we have a roll call?
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Motion carries. And we will move into executive session at 8:23.
If you want, I can give you that. How's that?
You got through
have
that.
Email
only let's see. One time did I sure. forget to ask for that?
Maybe
one and a half. Thank you for prompting me.
What's that?
Did you get the split, Cindy?
I tried.
Okay. Oops, I better stop this.